Hey everyone, welcome to Buzzing About Romance, a Sip and Discuss episode. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Jenny. Hi, Jenny.
Hey, Becky.
And Amanda. Hello, Amanda.
Hello.
And Leah. Hi, Leah.
Hi, Becky.
So, Leah, are you on Sunday's episode? Are you coming to Sunday's episode?
No, I'm not coming to Sunday's episode.
Okay. Well, then at the end of this episode, we will answer the question if we converted Leah to a rock star romance lover, liker,
connoisseur.
Connoisseur. If she'll come back for more.
That's a pretty big jump.
From I don't read rock stars and I hate them to we'll see if we convinced her.
Okay. Let's not put words in my mouth. I never said I don't read them and I hate them. I said I don't prefer to read them and I have a hard time liking them. That is very different than I don't and hate.
I feel like just she saying. Said I hate them.
No, I never like said that I hate too. Them.
I feel
Are
like...
you sure?
Dude, guys, I read a trad wife cheating book.
Well, and then you picked some raunchy crap off NetGalley this week.
Oh, did you get it?
No, I didn't actually get it. Oh, okay. I looked at it. And I was tempted, but I did not pull the trigger on that one.
Really?
I passed. Well, because I have 13 other thousand freaking documents on my Kindle that I have not gotten to yet. I do not have time for TradWife chaos.
I feel like this is some growth here. We might be witnessing some growth for Leah.
It was like TradWife thriller on top of it. So it was very like intriguing, but I do not have time for that.
Okay. Okay.
But also, like, I read that kind of crap now. Rock stars are like not even a blip on the radar.
Wouldn't it be funny to go back and listen to some of the early episodes where we're like, oh, the tropes we won't touch, like cheating. And Leah's over here
hard
like.
Hard no. Cheating used to be a hard no.
Yeah, oh, it's still a hard no anymore. For me. But I'm over the why choose. I'm all about that now if it's paranormal.
I was going to say.
Tessa Hale writes it. I'm reading it.
I give you one little small assignment and all of a sudden you're like, personality change. I'm in.
Yeah. And do you know how hard it's been for me to not read the new one that's out this week? Because I have so many other things to read.
And then I keep saying, hey, here's some more work for you. Would you like to read this?
Oh my gosh.
Well, and that's part of the thing. Like anytime we get any like fantasy stuff in our inbox, it was like, hey, Amanda, do you want this?
Well, those are actually like, other than the couple I had this week, they're fairly spaced out, but I did it to myself on the 20th. Like there's like 30 books releasing on the 20th. And I was like, oh, I can do these. I have time.
We are not talking about my NetGalley list right now. Although I will say I am caught up to next Tuesday. I have one more review to write. So everything that's due on the 6th has been read. The 13th, not so much. Anyway.
Yeah.
Not so much.
I mean, that's all going to be just back to the way it was once we like go through books again.
There were 17 emails in my Gmail account today of, hey, we are seeing if you're interested in interviewing this author.
And I had two.
And you had two?
Yeah.
And we had a couple in the group.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Hey. Guess what? More author spotlights coming your way here in the coming weeks. So on this episode, we are finishing up our Rocking April with rock stars. Picked mostly at Amanda's leading.
Mm-hmm. Mostly, yeah.
Mostly. I did kind of push for that one, but so far it's still my favorite of the month. So anyway, okay, so on this episode, we are reviewing Dirty Like Me by Janie Diamond. Who wants to tell us all the things?
I can do it.
Okay, go for it.
All right. Release date, November 2nd, 2016. Tropes are rock star, fake relationship, close proximity, celebrity norm, opposites attract. The name of the series is Dirty. This is book one. It's a series of interconnected standalones. It's dual first person. Put out percentage is 58%. The audio narrators, if you did the audiobook, are Ava Erickson and Rob Granis. Mm-hmm. I guess I'd say that. And it's available in Kindle Unlimited, and the audio is Audible exclusive.
I didn't realize this book was almost 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
It ages actually pretty well.
It does.
Yeah.
I would have put this as a 2019, 2020 release. Because it didn't feel aged.
Yeah, I was surprised that it was this old.
I read it when it like first came out, so I think that kind of skewed my view, but
yeah.
But do you... I read it last year, and I think I was like, oh, this is good for aging anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel like there were any big blips where, like, societally that wouldn't be okay now. I don't feel like there was anything off the mark with technology. Not that technology has changed a ton from 2016 to now.
Not really, but there wasn't a lot of like pop culture references either.
Because
you figure 2016 to now, there has been a lot of change, but there wasn't really even any of that, it was nice for that.
Which is really interesting because there was a conversation started over on TikTok this last weekend about pop culture and pop culture references within your books and how it can take you right out. And I think it's really in reference to the whole Abby Jimenez mentioning ACOTAR in her book. In our new release, is where I think it really comes out. But I think that rock stars is an easy category to use a lot of pop culture in.
Yeah.
Because, you know, music does kind of define a time period.
But I have noticed that in the books that we have read, they talk about, like, the classics of rock. Yeah. Like, the Dylans, the Who, like the old school rock. And it's like, I mean, it was still old school for us, a lot of
them. Right.
Like, yeah, so it's not like they're talking about like 80s, 90s rock as like their inspirations. Like they're still going like the 60s and 70s rock bands are the inspiration. It's like the classic rock.
Yeah.
Which somebody told me today that the 80s music is now considered classic.
Yeah.
And I thought it was going to
think 90s grunge is now considered classic. Mm-hmm.
It is.
I don't like that at all.
We talked about retro.
I know. We have talked about it, but I still like to think that I am not that old. But yeah, so I think that's part of it is like when you're talking music, like people who play in like they play out and things like that, like they really look at like old school music and like things like that.
Yeah, which is kind of good because that instead of it defines a genre versus a generation kind of situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like if this book had been filled with early 2000s rock or even the rock of 2010 to 2016, I mean, I was listening to a lot of Broadway in that time period. So I don't know. But I do feel like it probably would have been jarring, you know, because that was like the upswing of One Direction and, you know, like the pop music was much heavier in that time period versus the rock.
Well, and like rock in like early 2000s was a lot of like scream rock. It was like raging, not necessarily rage.
I was going to say like Rage is like 95.
System of a Down and like those types of bands. Yeah. It was more screaming.
Well, they do mention they're at the club and they mention the Killers, which was a big band around that time period. But I think that's really one of the only like current ones that they mention in this book. And I don't think that like that's an issue because that's a song they still play. If
you go like, there's a couple songs that they mentioned, but all of them are still.
Yeah, I just thought
rotation.
I just thought it was interesting because when I saw the age, I was like, well, this ages really well. And again, I think you're right. I think it's the classical classical rock mentioned versus current rock. And the Killers didn't even ping for me because, again, I consider them part of the current of that classic. Like, they've been around long enough.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and even their band Dirty is like 10 years old.
Yeah.
So, I just thought that was interesting, especially it felt relevant to the kind of the things because, of course, there were comments on my post that I made over on TikTok about like Taylor Swift references. And I was like, yeah, I know. I know. Okay, so average, or the plot overview of this is average girl Katie Bloom is cast on a whim in a rock music video by megastar Jessie Mays. The video goes viral. Chemistry explodes. I want to say, so we say this is fake dating, and it is fake dating, but I like that it wasn't a crisis that was the catalyst to make them fake dating. It was more his desperation for success.
Like, yeah, a lot of times when we see the fake dating, it's like to clean up an image, or there's like a PR thing going on. Like this was basically to boost sales.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the video went so good, and he felt like it also, I think, leads into that rock star superstition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so Katie's hired to be Jesse's fake girlfriend on tour to generate buzz and to help sell the albums. So I felt like this was two different books. Like the first 50%, it was really hooky and I was invested and I was in and I really liked the characters. Once they started having sex, they never stopped having sex.
They did not.
People take a shower, drink some Gatorade, and a nap.
Well, and then, like, they don't talk about any of their issues until, like, 70-75%.
That's the thing. Like, there's, like, the start of the story, then a lot of sex, and then conversation starts to happen, and then they break up.
I mean, I did like that there was a third act breakup. I felt like...
Well, yeah, I mean, and they, it's a, there's a reason. I mean, she finds she can't handle the, you know, the pressure, especially when they start going after her family. I mean, so yeah, I mean, she kind of, I don't know. I felt like that was a good reason too. Like, I didn't feel like it was just like a miscommunication situation, even though they didn't really talk until 70% in, you know, she had a valid, you know, when her family gets thrown in the tabloids and all of that kind of stuff. Like, I didn't feel like it just happened to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he didn't give her any reason to stay either. Like, he just kind of froze up and like,
yeah.
Well, and like when she was upset about that stuff, he didn't really like, he just kind of placated it. And it's like, you get used to it. Like, he didn't really empathize with her because he is so desensitized to it. And so like, that was a big part of it too. Like, she was freaking out and wanted like some sympathy for the freak out and the fact that she's thrown into this world that she doesn't understand. And he's like, you'll be fine. And she's like, yeah, I can't do this. I gotta go.
I feel like that, though, one of the things I'm going to say is I don't feel like he was our stereotypical rock star.
Right? No. Like, he has less problems than she does.
Yeah.
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 That being said, I felt like his response was like, I'm cool with it. You should be cool with it. Like, things are just cool. And that just felt like a typical dude response. Like,
yes,
it was.
I don't know what you're getting worked up about. I think it's cool. It's like, we're not the same. Not cool, we're just not the same, dude.
I mean, and technically, you know, if we want to be technical, like, they're not really together.
They're not.
They're not really together.
At that point. Like, it's still, like, the fake, so.
Well, they both have the feelings, but nobody's talking about them.
Yeah.
They did have a little bit of the yearning there for each other without the words, like. And even that initial rock star video in the beginning, it's hot. Feel the chemistry between these two, and I did expect them to be bunnies in their enjoyment, but I did expect a little bit more story during the bunny time. Trying not to say the F word in the first like 15 minutes.
but when you get through the book, like, they are banging a lot and we get that, but then they talk about how they talked about, like, they had conversation, but we didn't get that conversation.
No.
So it's like one of those things where like conversation and during the bunny times was happening, but we did not get insight into that.
Yeah. Like, even at the end, we get like from his point of view, a bunch of things he likes about Katie. And I'm like, we didn't see any of those. But how do you know those
things?
Right.
Exactly.
So one of the things that I want to bring up that I felt was kind of odd. So Katie's supposed to be just ordinary girl next door. Which I really do. I like that in our rock star romances. That's why I liked it with Violet. That's why I liked it. What was the first one we read?
Idol.
Idol. That's what I liked about that. Like that ordinary girl next door, easy breezy kind of moments. I like that. But every man in this book was in some kind of Katie gaze with her.
Oh, yeah.
Like everyone thought she was hot. And all I kept thinking about is like the girl from Twilight. How everybody's endlessly attracted to her. And what am I missing? Because nobody.
The cherry smell.
Yep. Yep.
Nobody's walking around in love with me and just, you know, I'm just an ordinary girl next door.
But that's the, you know, that's the fantasy, right? It's like the hot girl next door, yeah. Right?
But she's just so beautiful. She doesn't have a boyfriend, although, you know, she has her past. But every guy she meets in this book thinks she's hot. Like from the beginning. Don't you want to be the unexpected hot girl every time you walk into a room?
No. Because then people would pay attention to me.
Right. I mean, I think
I don't want to talk to you.
I think we've kind of gotten that with almost maybe like all of them, really, like a little bit like that, yeah. You know, like that, you know, the whole band is like, oh, wow, she's super attractive. You know, I think if you really think, because I'm sitting here and I'm like, they were all like a little bit like that, you know.
Yeah,
maybe not rock star as much. I think that one's probably the one that was the least amount that way. But even in Idol, when like everybody meets her, they're like, oh, she's really attractive. And then, of course, you know, and Lilac, they're all.
Everybody wants
her. Overheard, even they hate her. And then last week, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And
all,
I think.
Like enamored.
The only reason it's not with Rockstar is he's not really with the band.
Yeah.
When he's with Violet.
Together.
When he's with Violet.
It's like a side entity.
Yeah. They're kind of, you know, post.
Hiding.
Yeah. Hiding.
Stacey said, I got to get cherry vanilla lotions.
That's everybody's.
Maybe that's the key, the lotion. It's like a pheromone on of itself.
But yeah, that was just
it's
like.
All the cherries she ate, like the.
Well,
the cherries.
In her internal monologue, though, it's not about cherries. Her internal monologue is just always like, I'm so average. I'm just so me. And it did feel like we had a little bit of disconnect there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because like her best friend, like, and even like her sister, like the little bits that we got with from her, like they never treated her like she was just an average person. Like they talk about like how pretty she is and like things like that. And not in like a shallow way. Like they were like,
right,
you're
like,
a dumbass. Like you're
a
gorgeous
like she's
girl.
Unaware.
Yeah.
Because I even thought that about like her ex, like he's apparently this guy for money, like, but she doesn't have anything and she's going to be an artist. And I'm like,
yeah, she's got to be hot.
Like, yeah.
She's
got
to be hot. Anyway, the next time we like go to a book signing, everybody's going to smell like cherry vanilla lotion to get the hot book guys, I guess. I don't know.
Because there are so many.
It's not like we're not all married either.
I mean, there's single ones within our group. Okay, let's talk about Mr. Jesse Mays. I loved him.
Yep.
He is shameless in his cockiness and in his flirting. And he's really not a bad guy. Like, he reminded me a lot of Dax from Rockstar. Like, just that really good guy. This is what he does. He's cool with what he does. Like, he wasn't an ass.
I think so.
Well, and the thing with him, though, like, he was, like, his ego was the same from start to finish. But, like, emotionally, like, he did have growth. Like, by the end of the book, like, he was still, like, that ego, kind of ego-driven guy. But, like, he understood better, like, where she was coming from.
I think I would have loved it more if we had had just a little bit more emotional arc from him.
Yeah. I think if we had a little bit more point of view from him, too, because it's very Katie heavy.
Yes, I agree. Because there was a couple times, like, this was a reread for me, and I was like, ooh, yeah, like.
Like, if she had switched the point of view, I like, in a couple of the chapters, I think it would have been a more emotionally driven like flow than what we got.
Yeah, because it was like 3-1. Like mm-hmm. she would have like 3 chapters.
Well, because honestly, when I was reading at one point, I was like, and her chapters are kind of long too. But yeah. So as I was reading, it's like, are we ever going to get back to him?
Right.
Because yeah. like I had already read some of him. So I knew, like, I was hoping it wasn't just a treatise. Well,
yeah. I think that was like especially true, like after the bunniness. Like,
yes.
And, like, we don't get like, she is to the point where she is in love. And mm-hmm. we're like,
yeah.
How's he feeling?
Yeah, because when she leaves, like, it's a long time before we get back to his point of view. And I think that that is, like, where it kind of faltered a little bit. I mean, not just the bunny section, but, like, after that, like, because I think it, like, had we got the way, like, what he was doing while she was gone, too. Because when they come back together, like, you find out, like, she went to see his sister in L. But then, like, he also went to see her sister. It's like, I really wanted to see that conversation.
I just feel like there were some missed opportunities for mm-hmm. us to see some emotion, to have those emotional arcs, grounding moments. Does that make sense? I just wanted yeah. some more moments of grounding. And the author's pacing in this book, for me, I felt like it went like a car that was running out of gas. Like it would, like it was fast. And then it sputtered along. And then it was fast. Mm-hmm. And then we stalled on the bunny section.
Yeah, it definitely didn't.
And then it was fast.
Flow that I
someone
was.
Someone got some bad gas. That's all I'm saying. You know, like when you hit bad gas in your car.
But in a car.
It sputtered a little bit. And that was just like. I liked the story. I was hooked. This book was addictive. That those opening scenes, they pull you in. You're in this book really easily, which is probably why it is still being read and still talked about in 2000 from 10 years ago, right?
Yeah.
But right. And like as the series goes on, it gets like messy and
it gets heavy.
It's
like
so,
real fast.
It's so like you're like, "Whoa."
Yeah, and I almost
train wreck type.
Yeah, I almost wonder if she left this one lighter and less emotional because, like, when you get to 2, from 2 on, it is like just a punch to the face, like with emotion and messiness, and like you get into the heavy addiction, like the hard stories, like immediately after this one.
Because there's like their wedding book that like you get like. Multiple points of view, so like you kind of like check in with different people and you're like, oh man.
Yeah,
so I wonder what is the reason for that to go so messy, because it's interesting because if we look at Kylie Scott's her books, so she has her first book Lick, that one's definitely lighter, right? But then as you get more into those, they get heavier. And well, deal with the emotional like complications of fandom and fame.
But it's a really good way to introduce like a band without like throwing you into the deep end. Because like we met all of the characters except for one.
Yeah.
Like who have books, I think. Except maybe the last book, because I was trolling the series page. But like I think that is one thing with like, because they're not the only authors that do that. Like you start out like with that like basic introduction
Kristen
book.
Callahan kind of does that too a little bit with her VIP series.
Yeah so it's like you give it like a soft landing to meet everybody and then you really dive into the chaos.
Yeah.
Maybe it's so you're not like, oh man, these people are like messed up.
Versus like the Britt Benson book though, I mean her Rockstar books are messy and dark from book one.
But aren't all of her books messy? Like that's like her brand.
Yeah, her brand is a little bit messy. A little more emotional. I just the pacing, like she hooks you in. It just I struggled a little bit.
It's not consistent throughout the book.
And I would have rather had instead of like, you know, that 35% in the middle being all the sex all the time. I would have liked it if they had done it a little bit sooner, sprinkled in more conversations. Mm-hmm. I just, and again, I think it's because at the end, we get short little snippets and you're like, and like you said, we didn't know this as the reader. Yeah,
we didn't get that conversation.
How did we miss this? Okay, so what else did we love about this book? I thought the rock star moments were pretty good, like the on stage engagement and actions.
Yeah, I liked the rock star moments, like the tour moments. Like, I feel like you got immersed in kind of like the rock star life with her being on tour with him.
Yeah, and none of the books previous, did they really go on tour? Did we have the bus tour scenes or moments? Well,
you did in the last one, the Britt Benson, they were on tour, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and they were in Lilac too, but that's that's different.
I just felt like this one had it the most and it felt well done. Yeah. It made sense. It worked. You got that
like
close.
They're on the bus. Like they let him drive the bus. I was like.
Yeah, that one I didn't understand. But hey, he's a rock star. He can do whatever he wants.
I mean, that's not the insurance check I want to write, but. Sure.
I mean, I personally would not feel comfortable driving one of those things unless it was like a straightaway with no curves at all. Like all I had to do was keep it straight because those things are long.
I would not be driving it through the toll roads of Pennsylvania is what I'm saying.
No, I don't think I would fit. They fit. Those buses do fit and you can get two cars like on those roads, but the toll roads of Pennsylvania are terrifying in an SUV. I could not do it in a bus.
No.
It's tight quarters and it's always under construction.
I do feel like we got a really good amount of music, like inspiration, his lyricism. I feel like we did get a good balance of that in this one.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was kind of like neat that he doesn't write the lyrics. Like he writes the music.
Yeah.
And then his sister and Zane. Brody. Zane. Okay. Zane.
Yeah, Brody's the manager.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, does Brody have a book?
He's book it's two.
Him and the sister.
Oh, him and the sister. Okay. I didn't go looking for that. He's a character.
And you get more of Jesse's backstory with his sister's book. So you get a little more into like how they had it growing up and that kind of thing in his sister's book. So I wonder if she just kind of held back a little on him in this book because she knew she was going to go hard in the next one.
In the next one. I might have to read that. I will say this book read so fast.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was easy, it was fast, and it was steamy. I mean, so if you're looking for fast, easy, and steamy, like, you know, a drunk date on a Friday night, read this book. It's what I'm telling you.
I mean, that's fair. I was definitely like, yep, they're in their 20s, like, good for them.
Yeah.
Because honestly, none of us are having that much sex in our 50s or 40s.
Our 50s quite yet. Not quite.
I have 1 year. I have
one year. Not even in my 40s, technically.
Shut up, Jenny. I'm going to let Ollie share your bed this next time. You're in with Ollie now. I had something.
He'll be the big spoon.
He would be the big spoon.
He'd be warm at least because he's like a furnace.
My notes on this are, I needed more romance and less endless horniness. That is what I wrote.
Sounds
better. Depends on what you're in the mood for.
This is true.
Because I'm like, what am I going to talk about? A lot of the book, they were just horny.
Well, like, and he tells her, like, she's like, we need to have a story, like, how'd this happen, like, how'd we get together, and he's like, I sent you a dick pic.
and then he sends her the dick pic, and is like, now you're not lying. I did like when, like, they do get back together, he, like, found that studio space for her because she's an artist and a painter. And I thought that was really something because, like, she's had a really hard time finishing work. And I mean, anybody who does that kind of thing has been there before. And I thought that was a really, like, nice of him, like, that he, like, went and, like, basically, like, found all of her unfinished paintings and put them all in one place for her. And, like, her art was, like, something throughout the book too. Like, she had, like, at, like, when they first went on tour, she was sketching a lot, and he was, like, real angry that, like, she was sketching other people because he had a jealous streak. But then, like, there was right before the third act breakup, like, she even says, like, I'm not sketching. So, like, emotionally, physically, like, she's not, like, connecting with a lot of stuff. So, like, her art was, like, a big part of, like, her mental health, and I thought that was an interesting aspect to it.
I do have to laugh at the dick shock.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just like, okay.
It's Starstruck or Dick Struck,
Dick
right?
struck,
Dick
yeah.
Struck.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, never thought about it. Stacy says in the YouTube comments, the mafia reader in her wanted some comeuppance for Josh, and Josh is the ex.
I feel like he got a little bit when, when basically he's trying to hit on her and Jesse comes in
But
and he's like, oh no, she's with me.
he does sell that picture, so
yeah, he
he
does.
needs a
He's a,
good, like,
that's
junk
true.
punch.
Yeah. Jerk. Is there anything else about this book that we should talk about?
I can't think of anything.
I liked his grandma in the club, Grandma
Oh,
Dolly in the club.
Dahlia. Yeah.
Like, that was fun. Like, especially I like that whole scene where they're in the club and he brings her in for the first time and introduces her to everybody, and you get, like, you get a little glimpse of everybody in the band and, like, his family, and I thought that was a good scene.
Yeah. I will say for a rock star romance, there wasn't a ton of angst.
No.
And what
No.
was
No, it's fine.
there, I think, worked and made
Yeah.
sense. You know, like the interaction with Josh or and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and there wasn't a ton of, like, I mean, they drink a little bit in this, but you're not getting, like, the addiction side of it either,
No.
which, like I said, she gets way heavy
Yeah, I
into that
come.
later.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I do think it's interesting for it to be a band series. He's on a solo album
Yeah.
tour, you know.
Yeah, I think it helps her break the books up because of the way she, like, spaces them out on who gets the books. And I think it's like I think it helped her, like, not make this first one so messy, is because they'd been together for 10 years and he's taking time away to do his own thing and Elle has taken time away to do her own thing. So I think it was different, but I thought it worked that way.
Well, and it was one of
Yeah.
those ones too where, like, the band actually still gets along.
Yeah.
Like, they have some, like, issues here and there, but it's like they've been together this long. They still like each other. They still talk. They still have, like, they still get along and have good conversation. Like, they hang out. Like, the bandmates come and, like, hang out, like, on tour at the different places, and that's how she meets everybody. So I thought that was a nice part of it, because in the last two books, like, they hated each other.
Right.
Yeah.
Does Elle get a book? I didn't go after this, but I didn't go looking at the rest of the
Yes, she
series.
does.
She does have
Yeah,
a
and
book.
I think, yeah, the band is kind of like what holds the books together. It's not really the centerpiece because, like, the next book is Jessa and Brody, and like they're not in the band, but
Connected.
that's what,
Yeah.
yeah, that's
Yeah.
what connects them.
Yeah. Which I liked that this felt like an individual book. Sometimes when you go into a rock star romance, and I think that's what worked in Idol too when we read it, is that their meeting happens away from the main
Yeah.
stage of the band. So as a book one in a series, we're not so inundated with a bunch of people that we have to try to keep track of and figure out
Yeah.
who's who and how they're going to play into the dynamic of the band and of the relationship. So by making this like a solo tour, we do get to meet Jess and, you know, kind of figure out where people play and how things work within their dynamic. And it, so it doesn't feel crowded.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else before we go to thumbs up, thumbs down? Nope. Okay. So Jenny, thumbs up or thumbs down on Dirty Like Me by Janie Diamond?
Thumbs up. Like, I kind of thought of it as like a easy, not mac and cheese, but
it's a little spicier than mac and cheese.
But like, yeah.
We need to have like a light, like a tier of mac and cheese things.
Is this like mac like and cheese jack. with pepper jack?
Spicy ramen.
Spicy ramen read.
There you go.
There you go. Leah, thumbs up or thumbs down for you?
Mine's a thumbs up. Like, there were some things I didn't like about the book, but I did enjoy the story overall.
Yeah. Amanda, thumbs up, thumbs down on Dirty Like Me?
It's a thumbs up. And like I said, I read it last year and I don't know, it was really fast paced. I like their chemistry. I think this is a very low stakes entry into a rock star romance. Mm-hmm. If you're not generally a fan of those. But I don't know. And I realize that there are like a little bit of pacing issues or whatever, but I think that's just it's just a really well done rock star romance for me.
Yeah. So. And to be honest, it's a thumbs up for me. I really liked it. I struggled a little bit with the amount of sexy times just because I wanted some more emotion. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I go into Rockstar wanting the angst and the messiness. And so I am intrigued now to go on and read the other books knowing that it gets messier. Because if they were all light and easy like this, I worried I would get a little like bored. I need the drama to, you know. Maybe you could mellow out some of the sexy time with some trauma. I don't know.
Yeah, there's lots of trauma.
Yeah, it's definitely.
All your the sexy other books. Yeah.
I'm just saying, I mean, it's just an idea.
Some of them try pretty dang hard.
Yeah.
Okay, so if people liked this, we've given a lot of books over the course of the last 4 episodes. And this upcoming Sunday episode is going to be an encore of rock stars, meaning all the books that we didn't talk about, we're going to talk about on Sunday. But is there anything in particular before we go on that you think if people really liked this book, they should check out?
I
have Poor Judgment by Heather Orgeron. It's like a rock, it's like a band series. This is book one of that series. Now, like, they aren't, but it has similar vibes to it. And then also The Mighty Storm by Samantha Toll. I'm not sure how to pronounce her last name, but the series is The Storm. Like, that's the rock band. I haven't read this one specifically. But I have read other ones by her. And so her writing style would work well. Similar to this.
Hers like slowly ramp up to messy as well.
Yeah. Like the couple books that I've read, like the series, like usually book one is like, okay, like there's a little mess to it, but it's not so bad. But she definitely like adds in the chaos as the series goes on. But I do like her writing style too.
Yeah.
I would agree.
What about you, Amanda? You got any?
I went out of Rockstar and kind of went with, if you like Jesse and Katie's chemistry, that I think you would love, Wild Island Love by Melissa Foster, which is Duncan and Lenny. So that's a fake relationship. He's actually an actor, not a rock star, but they go out on a first date and the paparazzi like see them. She's a PR person for his PR firm, but they have like explosive chemistry, I think, like the same way. Mm-hmm. And then they end up kind of, it's not fake dating to reclaim his PR image, but it's more because kind of like the same, like he has a movie coming out, the paparazzi see them on a date already. And so they kind of play into it for the movie. But I like Jesse and Katie kind of remind me of Duncan and Lenny. So,
yeah.
Well, and Duncan has that ego too.
Yeah. Same. Yeah.
So outside of Rockstar, If You Need Me by Helena Hunting, this is book 3 in her Toronto Terror series. It's a fake relationship. And actually, she's the one that kind of needs him. He's the hockey player, but she works for the head office. And he messes up. but she needs him because he announces that they're fake dating when, or he announces they're dating when they're not. And he has a big mouth and he's the messy one that's not quite fully with it. The other book that's not Rockstar that I thought about was Fake by Kylie Scott, which is Hollywood Norm. It would work really well if you liked this book and you want off the charts chemistry, that yearning doesn't quite fit into his world. That's another really good one. And then the other one I thought about was Hearts in Winter by Carrie Elks. And that's a second chance. And nobody's really famous, but it deals with fake dating because he's trying to get like a big sponsorship grant so he can go back and do his medical clinics outside of the US. So those were.
I like that one. I've read that one.
It's a good one. It's a good one. They're still married, but didn't know they were still married because her dad screwed up the his dad screwed up the divorce papers. So
on purpose?
Yes. Nope. That's a perfect example. So his dad in Winterville, which I still don't understand why these people, you people are not reading Winterville, but
I've read a couple of Winterville. Yeah, I haven't read them in order.
I haven't.
Yeah, we might have to change that when we come back in the fall. but this, the older couple, his dad, who's the town mechanic, and then there's the lady that owns the coffee shop in town. You know that they are in love with each other. And I desperately would love them to have a book. Like, at the end of the very last one, you find out that they are dating each other in their own kind of, but neither wants to give up their homes or their life or anything.
Independence, yeah.
But you just know that there is a love story there between these two. And they're a hoot. Because who doesn't love a meddling, you know, coffee shop baker and a mechanic? Like,
this is true.
It screams read now, right? Okay. So that's a wrap on this. Jenny, did you have any books? Did I ask you? No. You'll have all the rock stars on Sunday, though, right?
Yes, I will.
Somebody better have some rock stars on Sunday.
Which is why I'm not already.
I have a TBR like of stuff I didn't get to read that I wanted to read. So.
So before I do our outro here, Leah, let's ask the big question. Did we make a rock star fan of you with these picks this time? Except Lilac. We are not talking about that book because that was freaking wrong.
I mean, I would read read more, yes. Again, I really read anything anymore.
But no, the longer you're a part of this, the less you have taste, is what you're saying.
I mean, I still have taste. Those books were bananas. And I like, they weren't great, but I couldn't stop reading them. No, like I enjoyed these, most of these. Like, they are, the problem is like older rock star books that I've read, it was like everything I hate about like romance and.
But I think we did see those. Like, we look at Lilac, it was so stereotypical and nobody came like, out.
Had I read that and not the other ones, then no, I would not pick up another Rockstar book.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
And then did anybody have a favorite that we read over the last 5 weeks?
I think mine was definitely just the VIP series in general. So I would say I don't like, I liked all of them, you know, other than Lilac and the, you know, pretty much. I mean, last week was probably like, you know, I wouldn't say that one was in my top, but the other three, like Idol, Rockstar, and this one, like I like all of those, but I think Idol just because I binged that whole VIP series.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. Jenny, did you have a favorite?
Well, two of them were rereads for me, so not really. Like, I really enjoy Rockstars. I'm not.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's just because music's a big part of my life. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Stacy says Idol was her favorite of the five. Leah, did you have a favorite?
I think Idol was my favorite just because, like, it was just a little messy. And I like messy. Not that like Rockstar was very good and I really enjoyed that story, but there's just something about Idol and like the way in which the story played out, I liked better.
Yeah.
This one I enjoyed. I did not like Lilac at all, as we all know. And of Heartbreak
Jump
and
that
Harmony,
ship.
I think it was not Britt Benson's best book. And so I think it was just the book. Not that I would not read her again. I just didn't like that one as much.
Yeah. Well, in my favorite, I love Idol. That Kristen Callahan's series is OG, like top
Yeah,
tier
but you
rock
also
star.
love Lauren Rowan
I'm
too.
just gonna say it though, Rockstar. Dax is my forever dude. Like, I love him forever. So, anyway,
She's writing a new series.
I know, but I think
I
this
was
is her new series
doomscrolling
that
her.
is going to be published for TradPub.
Yeah, I was
So,
doomscrolling on the Tiki Talk today, and she had a Tiki Talk about it.
anyway, but if it's Lauren Rowe, I'm gonna read it. We all know that. Like, you're
We
not gonna
do.
have to twist my arm
That's
on that.
fair.
So that's a wrap on this episode. We hope you enjoyed our deep dive into Dirty Like Me by Janie Dimon. So special announcement. This is when I wish we had sound effects, like maybe confetti, like boo or something. I don't
You
know.
make
We
the
need like,
balloons go off. How do you do it?
yeah,
I
like
was
the
gonna say,
balloons.
like the fly has to do it.
I think he turned off our reactions. Anyway,
Oh.
tomorrow, starting tomorrow, we are kicking off
Tomorrow.
a huge spring giveaway to celebrate some of our favorite releases and authors. So make sure you are following Buzzing About Romance on Instagram. We are giving away 8 paperbacks to one lucky winner. Now, if you are not on Instagram because, Meta, you can then, there will be an option for you to enter via our newsletter on Sunday. So make sure you read and open our newsletter on Sunday that Leah sends out so that you can have a chance to win. If you are not on Instagram, it can also be an extra entry. So wait till you hear this list of authors that are participating in this giveaway because we kind of outdid ourselves a little bit, friends.
We did.
Sawyer Bennett is one of our authors in this giveaway. Author Lainey Davis, author Kendall Hale, author Piper Rain, Danica Flynn, Carrie Elks, Carrie Ann Ryan, and Aaron Nicholas. Each one of them has put a signed paperback and swag up for grab in this spring giveaway. So, and I think the majority of it is everybody's latest release. Except Erin Nicholas is going to do book one in her Royal series, so her Reluctantly Royal series, because she's getting ready to kick off a spin-off series from that. So,
Yeah, it's everybody's newest release because I was like going through the books
yeah.
as we, yeah.
So you could get a signed copy of Piper Rain. It's Mr. Charming, I think, was the last book.
Yeah.
Like, and those covers are cute. Same with Lainey's. Also, speaking of Lainey, I got a sneak peek of her new cover for book two. You guys, it's so good. Anyway, so that giveaway is starting tomorrow over on Instagram. Open up our newsletter for your chance to win on Sunday, or for an extra entry. We will be back on Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on the YouTube, where we will be sharing more Rockstar Recs. Why we love them, and if we, well, we already know Leah is going to read more rock stars, so we'll just build Leah a rock star TBR on Sunday night and give it to her and tell her she
Because
has to
I
read them
follow
all.
a TPR.
Right. So many lies. Next week we're diving into our May TBR, our May Sip and Discuss TBR, with all things messy weddings and brides. So many brides that are just messy.
It's all the jilted bride.
Well, except this first one, she's not jilted.
I thought she was
I
jilted
don't think she
too.
is.
I
The
thought we were
first
doing
one,
jilted for everything, but maybe I was wrong.
well, I think it's a second chance, but it's her mother's wedding, remember?
Oh, that's right.
So the first one on the list is The Secret to a Southern Wedding by Cynthia Williams. And in that book, it's her mother getting married, and she has to go back to her hometown to help her mother with the wedding.
And it is trad, but it is very prevalent in the library system.
Yeah, library
even my
system.
Library had it, and my library has nothing.
The audio is on Hoopla. I think the ebook is in Hoopla. But there was, I don't know, Amanda posted it a couple weeks ago in the Discord that it was $1.99.
Yeah, that's when I grabbed it.
And that cover is so gorgeous. I was like,
it is really pretty.
One click, I had to have
that
it.
Whole series, those covers are beautiful.
I did not one click at that time. You and then never. I had buyer's remorse, yeah. Which I usually
always do.
So then
she's got like
do.
A $12.99 ebook.
That's why
like, I'm
was
pretty
happy
sure
it was
we
in
had
the
this
library.
Conversation. Like
we
last
did have
week.
This conversation.
We did.
Because I was an idiot and I did not do the $1.99.
It's okay.
But don't you worry. I have the ebook and the audiobook currently on my phone.
I'm super excited. I've never read Cynthia Williams before. These covers are gorgeous.
I haven't either.
And I'm super excited to dive in. And it yeah. sounds like messy familyness, which, come on, guys. We know I'm here for that right now.
That's our bag.
It's totally our bag. So until next time, everyone.
Happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at @BuzzingAboutRomance or on Twitter at @BuzzingRomance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.